God's grace, mercy, and peace be with all of you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A few years ago, there was a drought and famine in Ethiopia. A huge number of people starved to death. One of the tribes affected was the Falashas. However, one nation came to their rescue in a mighty way. They sent planes that went to Ethiopia, packed up this tribe, primitive tribe, and took them back to their own homeland. There they have been working at integrating this fairly primitive people into their own fairly modern society. The nation that rescued the Falashas was Israel. The reason they did so was because the Falashas were Jewish. In our text from Acts, we hear of an Ethiopian going to Jerusalem to worship. We might assume that he was a Gentile. He probably was not. The Ethiopians maintained that the Queen of Sheba was married to King Solomon in her visit there, and that when she returned to Sheba to rule, which is another name for Ethiopia, she bore Solomon's son. The Ethiopians believe that she also brought back to Ethiopia the true faith about a Messiah that would someday come. From the days of Queen Sheba to the time of the Ethiopian treasurer, Ethiopia's official religion was the Jewish religion. So, as this important Ethiopian official was reading the prophecy of Isaiah, he was reading from a book that he was not wholly unfamiliar with. But he probably wondered, who is this man who was to be slaughtered like a sheep? Who was this man who was to be humbled? And how was he to be humbled? It was such questions as these that the Ethiopian sought answers to. It was because of his searching for such answers that God brought Philip to the side of his chariot. Perhaps Philip's explanation went something like this. Most noble patron, this man to whom Isaiah writes was like the sheep that you saw slaughtered on your visit to the temple in Jerusalem. Except when this man was sacrificed, he was the one sacrifice for all humankind, the sacrifice that all other sacrifices were only imperfect symbols of. See what it says just before this verse? It says, "The Lord has punished him for the sins of us all." This one of whom Isaiah prophesies would die for all of the wrong that all of us had done. He died for your sins, and he died for mine. But who is it? The Ethiopian would have asked. Has this man been sacrificed yet? Yes, Philip would have exclaimed. Just a few years ago, the man Jesus from Nazareth came and taught the truth from God. He showed that he was the one sent from God by healing the sick, performing many miracles, and even raising the dead. The Ethiopian asked, but Isaiah said, like a sheep he was led to a slaughtering. What happened? Philip would have answered, one Passover, this Jesus was in Jerusalem. He celebrated the Passover with his closest disciples and then went out to pray with some of them. One of his disciples betrayed him to his enemies, the religious establishment in Jerusalem. They arranged a mockery of a trial with false witnesses against him. Finally, when they got him to admit that he was the Son of God, they accused him of blasphemy and arranged for him to be crucified through the office of the Roman governor. In that way, he became the sacrifice for our sins. At that point, the Ethiopian may have interjected, but if this man did claim to be the Son of God, he certainly deserved to be crucified. But tell me, Philip would have countered. If this Jesus had blasphemed God by claiming to be his son and by claiming that by his death all sins would be forgiven, do you think God would allow such a man to return from the dead to life and then take him to his own right hand in heaven? No, the treasurer would have exclaimed. Such a blasphemer would be condemned by God to the eternal fires of hell. But God did raise him from the dead, and God did take him to his own right hand, Philip would explain. I know, because I have met hundreds of men and women who saw him after he had risen from the grave, the third day after his death. And I have spoken to many people who saw him rise upon clouds to be taken to heaven. They say that even at the trial before the Jewish court, that Jesus had boasted that he would someday be sitting at the right hand of power, and that would be where he would be the next time they saw him. The Ethiopian may have then asked, but Isaiah only speaks of this man as being a sacrificial lamb. Where does it say he would be brought to life again? Just look a few sentences beyond where you've read, and Philip probably would have pointed out these words to him as he read aloud. After he has sacrificed himself for guilt, he will see those born to him and will enjoy a long life. Isaiah foresaw that this man, this Son of God, would not only die as a sacrifice for our sins, but that he would also take back his life again. At that point, the Ethiopian may have wondered aloud, Isaiah speaks of those born to him. Does this man have children? I would like to meet one of them. At that point, Philip may have looked at the man, smiled and said, I am one of them. And he would have been telling the truth. For although he had probably never met Jesus, he was a child of Jesus. And so am I. And you may be wondering, just as the Ethiopian probably wondered, how can he be a child of Jesus? Philip would have told you what I'm about to tell you. By baptism, I have become a child of Jesus. And so has every other person who has been baptized and believes in Christ. More than that, we have even been united with Christ in our baptism. As St. Paul says in our Romans text, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus by our baptism share in his death? Sharing in his death by our baptism, we were buried with him, so that as the Father's glory raised Jesus from the dead, we too will live a new life. If we were united with him to die as he did, then we'll also rise with him. We know our old self was nailed with him to the cross to stop our sinful body and keep us from serving sin any longer. When we're dead, we're free from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe we'll also rise with him, because we know that Christ, risen from the dead, will not die again. Death has no hold on him anymore. So the story of Christ's death for our sins and of his glorious resurrection is not just about Jesus. It's also about us. For in baptism we were united with Christ as God gives us faith in Christ's work of redemption. In our baptism, we take hold of that death for all humanity's sins, and we confess that our own sins have died with Christ on the cross. In our baptism, we take hold of that new spiritual life that God the Father gave Jesus, and we too live a new life. Daily, we relive Christ's crucifixion and resurrection in our own lives, as we repent of our sins and accept the forgiveness and new life that is ours because we have been baptized into Christ's body. As Luther put it, baptism signifies that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil lusts, and again, a new man daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. This new man that lives in us is Christ. As St. Paul put it in Galatians 2:20, I was crucified with Christ, and I don't live anymore, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in my body, I live by believing in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You too, if you are baptized and believe in Jesus Christ, have the power of the resurrected Christ active in you. Christ's resurrection is also your resurrection. Your old sin-filled life died when Christ died. Your new life is a spirit-filled one, one that is yours because Christ lives in you. Our text from Acts says that the Ethiopian got up from his baptism and went on his way rejoicing. And why shouldn't he? He had come to the Holy Land as a Jew. He left the Holy Land as a Christian, with the Most Holy One living in him. He had come to visit the temple. He left as the temple of God in which his Holy Spirit dwells. He came dead in sins. He left with the power of the resurrection, daily renewing him in spirit. As you leave here today, may you leave rejoicing as well. The traditional Easter greeting is, He is risen. He is risen indeed. But because of our becoming one with Christ in baptism, our daily Easter cry can be, We are risen. We are risen indeed. Amen.